need to understand that there is an assignment on the church. But God is going to raise up, you know, a victorious church. All of us have a history. You might have a broken down marriage, a more broken down whatever it is. It's just a different type of history than what I have, but we all have history. Right? All of us have a history. Some of us are not proud of our history. I'm not proud of much of my history. You know, there are things that I had to go through, right, and in my life to get where I am. But you know what? God opens doors for those people who are broken, right? Because he wants them. The reason that you are usable is because you have a history. A lot of times they look at our history and say, oh, man, I hate that. You know, I don't know, I'm useless or whatever. But you know what? The world can tell you're useless, but the Lord sees something different. Right? He sees something different. Right? He sees a child of God. He sees something totally different. And he says, you can do it. Whatever that purpose is in your life, you can do it. Right? Here's some just pointers about my life, just so you know, okay? I try not to be too long, but, you know, I'm a pastor, but, you know, I have real good intentions, but, you know, that's how it goes, right? Just bear with me for a minute. My parents, basically, they're immigrants, right, from Ukraine, right, through the war. I mean, that's a whole other long story. You can read it in my book. But they came, you know, after World War II, and it's kind of weird right now because you got young people who've never heard a bunch of stuff from World War II, right? For me, it's just like one generation away, right? And so anyways, they're trying to build a life in Canada because they immigrated to Canada, and it's almost like they sacrificed building a life. Sacrificed relationship with their children for building a life, right? And I came about, and my mom wanted a girl, so I wasn't a girl, obviously. I self-identify as a male, okay? I could show you that I'm male, but we'll stop right there. But she dressed me up as a girl. You know, when I was young, and I thought, you know, like, why are you doing that, right? But, you know, that's my mom and her, you know, different issues that she was dealing with. And there's a lot of dark spiritual residue in my family, right? My brother sexually assaulted me. He used to have, like, these parties back then, and there's a lot of things that, you know, are coming back to memory about how things happened to me personally. That was, you know, the age of, what do they call that? You know, they did a lot of LSD and a bunch of drugs, and they had these, you know, different parties. When my parents weren't home, he did that. And I think there's a lot of demonic activity, you know, in that, because a lot of this residue that comes from Ukraine, I mean, I don't know if anybody been to Ukraine, anybody? Yeah? Slava Bohu. Yeah. So anyway, you might not know, but there's a lot of spiritual, like, activity. And when we were in Ukraine one time, a bunch of gypsies came in to this one town. They just plopped themselves in the middle of wherever they wanted to. Nobody wanted to touch them. Right? They just let them do whatever. The police didn't touch them. Nobody. Because they're scared of their, you know, that they might get a curse upon them or whatever, you know. It's this kind of stuff, you know. But there's a lot of things that my mom was dealing with, right? The mental health issues, being, you know, in a concentration camp in Germany. And that kind of affected our family, right? And my brother was about 11 years, 10 to 11 years older, depending what birth when the birthday came, you know. But God still gave me a dream in that situation, right? He's still talking to me because in my heart I was something different. Whatever was going around me was opposite from what I was, you know, my intentions and of my heart were. And I would actually hear God speak to me, you know, like Samuel and Eli, right? I hear this voice, but I can't really figure it out. But all I knew is I like going to my mom and dad's friend's house and sleep on the couch there, and I could do it on a Saturday because I knew next day you're going to church, and it was an Orthodox church, but I like doing it because, you know, it's something there, right? And I would look up, and I would feel God, like, talking to me. I know I told my mom, I says, you know, what if, you know, I marry an indigenous woman. Back then, we called them Indians, right? What if I married an Indian princess and became a priest? I had no idea, like, right? And then here I am, you know, I'm a pastor, and I'm married to a beautiful Métis woman for 42 years, right? Right? So I know God has a plan, right? When you're a child, I want to tell you, if you have something, a dream, know that God can put those things in you, right? He make you alive in Him, even though you don't realize it, right? And I was seeking different things, you know how it is. You don't know what you're hearing, but you hear it, but then you start looking for it, right? So, and I grew up in a home that didn't know Jesus. But I was looking for something, right? Then one time my parents had friends who were believers, right? And so they would come over and talk about Jesus. All of a sudden, they're going, oh, God, Lord. Talking about Jesus, right? And then because I was living in that family, I'm going, oh, talking about Jesus again. And then we bumped him into that person in a store one time, and my dad goes, how many Bibles do you have in your house? You know, kind of mocking them. Oh, I have a Bible in every room, right? And so this kind of stuff, right? So here I'm kind of in that environment then. But, you know, at that one time, I had a crush on that woman's daughter, right? So I took her out one time, you know, thinking, having other thoughts, right? And then she started witnessing the gospel to me. A seed was planted, right? But after that, you know, that was when I was about 17, no, 18. After that, you know, I went on my way, you know, got into drugs and different, you know, illicit drugs and met my wife. And then one day got to know the Lord. Because how many of you know God has a sense of humor too? Right? I was working for him in Edmonton Transit that one time. And this friend of mine invited us out bowling. You know, God works in the bowling alleys, it seems like. He was a believer, right? And he's telling me how God had rescued him out of drugs and alcohol. Right? And I'm going, oh, that's nice. Good for you, right? But I wasn't going to go into all this. Is that okay? Are we okay? What time is it? What time do I have till? Huh? Whatever? Okay. Oh, okay. So, we're into the drug scene, and one day we're smoking dope, and it's not legal now, but doesn't mean that's right? So I had a plant in my closet, right? I'm coming out of the closet, okay? So that one day, Carol cooked up some delicious pork chops, right? And so we're eating these pork chops and give one of our daughters, a two-year-old, a pork chop, and then she choked on a bone piece, right? So, right? And I'm high, and I just don't know what to do. I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do, right? And so I took this, my daughter, and tipped her upside down, started banging. I said, Carol, call 911. And she's choking on this bone, right? All of a sudden, bone comes out. And then we lived in this apartment building, fourplex, and my parents lived on the bottom. We were on top. The doorbell rings, ding, ding, in the back. I run to the back and look out the window. There's this police officer standing there. And then my knees start knocking, right? Because I turned around and I saw this plat, and I'm going like, oh, no, we're doomed, right? So I ran down the stairs, and I just started talking because if you know anything about drugs, you're really paranoid, right? You get paranoid, right? And start talking. Are you the police officer that's calling me to help me with my child who's just choked and blah, 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 blah? I said, no, sir, have you seen this child? He's missing, and gives me his card. Call us if this child shows up around or you see this child, right? And I go, close the door, and I'm thinking, what has just happened? The next day, I went to work. I'm sitting in my bus because I was a bus driver, right? And I said, God, if you're real, you know, I put out this thing, you know, if you're real, I need help. I can't live like this anymore. There's so much pain and agony and things in my life, and I'm dealing with this. How can I live like this? If I've got, you know, a beautiful wife, two children, at that time, we have three, right? I'm going, Lord, I can't do this anymore. And I took off, got home, you know, started doing whatever we were doing before, but nothing was happening. Not getting high at all. So God started working, right? I was mad at my drug dealer. I says, he gave me the stuff. What is this, parsley? Right? He says, no, it's the best stuff that I could find. It's the best stuff, blah, 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 right? And I'm going, no, just look parsley. So I flushed everything down the toilet, right? Then I thought, you know, oh, Carol, how about the word? How about the Bible? My dad has a Bible downstairs, right? And I'm going to go down and get it, see what it's all about. So I did that. Opened it up and started reading it. I don't get this, right? So I closed it, you know. And that was it. And then one day our friend, what I was telling you about, says, hey, why don't you come to church one day? Yeah, it was Christmas. His wife was performing in this Christmas play and doing a dance, so why don't you come? You know, the devil's always working, right, to discourage you to do whatever, you know, needs to be done, right? And I made an excuse. I said, I don't want to go in uniform because it's just right after work. But we had this one-hour photo studio at that time because I tried many things to make myself feel better about who I was. Flying, planes. Learn how to fly planes, learning how to taekwondo, compete in taekwondo. Notice that's the longest 3 minutes of my life in a taekwondo ring, right? Many things to try and make me feel better about who I am, right? But this one-hour photo studio is right across the street from the church. How many of you know that God has a plan? And sometimes you can't escape it, right? And I says, oh, you just park there, go in there and change and go run across the street. So when we came to that time, yeah, we parked there and I begrudgingly, you know, changed, walked across the street. You know how the church is situated here? There was a door that was on the avenue, like on the street. You walk in this way. I thought that was a front door. And I walked in during during the worship, like there's, I don't know where this goes, but there's a hallway back. There's a hallway. And this guy was standing there in this robe and this beard with no mustache. And I think, oh, that must be the priest, right? And he's waving us in. But I later found out he was one of the actors in the play, right? Dressed up like Joseph, right? Because you know where your Orthodox mind goes, right? You know, the priestly wear and whatever. But anyways, walked in and everybody looks happy. Like, what's going on? I've never been in a church where everybody looks so happy singing so loud, right? And so we sat in the second pew. And I thought, this is not so bad, right? Yeah. Went home and told my dad, right? Guess what? Right? What? Went to a church. Where? The Pentecostal church down the street. Run. Once they get a hold of you, they get their hooks on you, you'll never escape. Right? I'm going like, what? Aren't you happy? At least, you know, I went somewhere. You know. Then the next Sunday, we thought, no, we'll go to church, right? And we couldn't get it together. We're fighting. Right? And longer story shorter, the day after that, we made it to church, sitting on the second pew with our friend. The pastor is preaching. I don't know, how does he know what's going on in my life? Did he have a periscope look into our bedroom window? You know, that kind of thing? But it's the Holy Spirit, eh? Holy Spirit knew exactly where, you know, what was going on. We gave our hearts to Jesus. I remember hearing the call and running up to the front, right? Actually, I came out and I was standing in the aisle and looking at my wife, are you coming? Yeah? Right? We gave our hearts to the Lord and everything just kind of got straightened out and disappeared. And you know, in a few months, we started, you know, doing several things in the church. I never skipped the beat. Went to Bible school, whatever, you know, all that, and here I am. But here we are in Africa, in Camrose, with you, telling you how good God is and what he can do in your life. No matter what you're going through, he's going to get you out of it. Just cry out to him. Just cry out. And those are things. And your success in pursuing God, you know, can be hinged on these three things here I want to give you. Your obedience to him. Don't fall off. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He'll reward you. Don't wane off your faith in him. Because whatever he set out to accomplish in you, he's going to do it. Right? He's going to do it. Second one, commit yourself to action. Don't take up just space. Something needs to be done in the church. Help out. You know, I'm telling you, you know, if I would have known that I was going to go through all the things I did in ministry when I was seeking it, I wouldn't be standing here right now. It's hard. I want to give you another thing. To be a Christian is hard. I thought, you know, I'll become a Christian, I'll be a kumbaya. You know, yeah, kumbaya, you know. How's that song go? Kumbaya, my Lord. That's not right. There's no utopia. There's just obedience and faith, which is bigger than utopia. Because you can go through whatever storm that comes your way and he's going to be there for you. It's reality. We all have our realities happening, no matter if we're 5 years old or 50 years old or 80 years old or 90 years old. We all face some sort of reality in our life. Right? And God has a plan for you. Commit yourself to action. James 1:21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the imparted word. God wants to impart a word on you, in you, right? Which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word. Right? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's nice to hear a message. It's nice to hear whatever, or some music, but do something with yourself. There's a bigger thing out there than you, and God wants you to be a part of it. Right? Verse 23 says, so for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is a man observing his natural face in the mirror. You're not seeing properly. You're just seeing everything that you can't do. This is a supernatural thing. Do you know that God is supernatural, right? And because God is supernatural, you are supernatural. You have the Spirit of God in you, and he's going to activate you. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was, if you don't take it up, right? It's not too late. It's not too late. Abraham was 100 when he had Isaac. It's not too late. Moses was 80 when he took on Pharaoh. Right? The fourth thing I want to leave you with is character. You know, in our times, I've seen many people with great giftings. Powerful anointing. But at times, they lack the character of carrying it. I know my good friend did a lot of things with him, Jeremiah Johnson. I don't know if you know who he is. Yeah. And also one of my friends who just passed away during COVID is Lauren Sanford. Have you heard of him? Have you ever heard of John Sanford? Very men of character. Right? And the big thing that we lack, I think, in some Christian circles, you know, you see a lot of people falling, right? Some guys that you've listened to, for instance, you know, who? That's one. There's many. But another guy that I met one time, you know, from the Hillsong Church. Houston, yes. Powerful preacher. And I found that he's an alcoholic. Or he's not an alcoholic. He's given to the drugs or a sleeping pill. I don't know, whatever it was. I don't really care. But we start writing these people off, right? Because we've put them on a big pedestal. We've almost come to the place of worshiping them. Right? And so what happens is character is the biggest issue that I think we have to deal with. God cares about your character. And that's one thing I really appreciate with Jeremiah. He talks about character a lot. And how the prophetic movement of the day, you know, at times lacks the character that needs to perform what needs to perform. Character is a big thing, right? You're not just a church goer. You're called to be like Christ. You're not a Christian, quote unquote, right? You're a believer. You're a child of God. That's one thing that I talk about a lot when I go minister to pastors. Listen, you are not your vocation. You're not your calling. Number one, you are a child of God. Anything else is messed up. Right? God is interested in you personally. Right? Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. You want to be functional in the kingdom of God, you need to die. You need to die, and Christ has to come up and live in you again. It says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. Right? Right? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You need to die so Christ can rise up in you. And sometimes we get caught up in our own kind of righteousness, right? You know what? I'm just a plain guy. I'm nothing special. You can call me Rick. I don't care. But number one, I identify myself with Christ. Right? First Peter 2:21 to 25 says, he took our sin, bore it in his own body that we may be healed from what? From everything that has inflicted us to tarnish our character. We're not just talking about, you know, physical ailments. We have so many hurting people. And so remember I was telling you about the hurting people. Many of us are broken. In fact, you know, I can take a survey of this church and find out probably 99.9% of us have been broken at one time. Just like, in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. You know that story? She goes to the well, meets Jesus. Right? Which is a great illustration of what Jesus can do in your life. She's going to this well every day. It's like a tradition. And then Jesus encounters her, and then finally the question is, you think you're greater than the guy who built this well? She had all her ducks in that, or whatever that term is. You know, everything in there. Everything was in within what her experience or knowledge of what that well was, because she had to go back to it, but Jesus gives her something different. Water of life, right? In fact, when Jesus came and encountered her in John chapter 4, verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me that water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come over here. She is a broken person. Because she responded, the woman answered, I have no husband. And Jesus says to her, you have said well. I have no husband. For you have had five husbands. I don't know if they died or whatever, or left her. That's not important. But she's trying to fulfill her life by natural means, and it doesn't work. Like I was trying to do it with drugs and whatever it was, trying to make myself better or feel better and try to kill the pain, right? And the woman said to him, Hang on just a second. He goes, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you're now with is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman goes, what? How do you know all this? In fact, you know, to the point where she says, well, I know the Messiah is coming because a lot of things are witnessing to her, right? He says, I am he. And she ran back to her town and told everybody, listen, I just had an encounter with Jesus. One encounter with him can change your whole life. Turned around. That can happen for you. One encounter with him can change everything. It's not an encounter with church. An encounter with church will bring you a multiple pool of different things. And some of them aren't that bad. And some of them are painful sometimes. But one encounter with Jesus. We need a spiritual shift, I think, in our lives. All of us, you know, and including myself, I tell that myself that all the time. Because you get so engrossed in what's happening around you that you forget who you are. You know, it's easy to look at other people's faults and say, you know, look what they're doing, but sometimes we forget. There's grace to be found for that one person because I'm no better. Number four, God's purposes will not fail and his purposes don't hinge on just you. So if you're thinking you're all that in a bag of chips or not, just saying, right? Moses was called to bring out Israel. In fact, he had an encounter with God. Then he goes to Pharaoh and says, I'm going to take everybody out of here. Right? And in Exodus chapter 4, it's really intriguing because this intrigued me. After all that, he said to Pharaoh, right? It says, verse 24 says this, and it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. I got confused. You called this man to bring out Israel out of captivity, out of the clutches of the enemy. But now you want to kill him? Good God. Then I realized, you know, God's purposes will, you know, they will be accomplished one way or another. But we better smarten up. Right? I better smarten up. Because he didn't totally, you know, adhere to what God needed to do, like circumcise his boys, right? Because back then, the identity of God's people was the circumcision, right? He didn't do that. So because there's judgment coming on Egypt, and if he doesn't do what he needs to do in his life, then he'll be judged. And then I thought, wow, God's purposes will happen no matter what. Just doesn't hinge on me. Right? He'll never fail. Because we win. Right? You know, I'm not so naive to think that God can't raise somebody else but me. Right? And I don't think that, you know, I'm any better than anybody else. Right? But we know that circumcision is important of the heart. Because that's what marks us. Right? Romans 2:29 says, but he is as a Jew, which is one inwardly. As circumcision is that of the heart. In the spirit, not in the letter. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. Right? So I'm not all that in a bag of chips. I'm just me. Just doing what God has told me to do. Coming out of a messed up environment. And my wife has a whole different story, which is really interesting too. Out of a, you know, indigenous community, and some of those are a little messed up at times. We all need Jesus. Bottom line, I need Jesus. I can't do what I do because, you know, my tongue would be all twisted and tied without the Lord. He changed me. Recognize who you are in Christ. Recognize who you are. Even though you have a history, recognize who you are. I want to read to you a few things that you are, and we're going to be closing right now. Justified. I mean, you can close your eyes and just listen to this if you want. You are justified, declared righteous. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and you are justified freely by his grace. You are made peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with him. You're reconciled to God. For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. We are redeemed. In him we have redemption through his blood. You're set free by his blood. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. We are free from condemnation. You're free from condemnation. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. You are accepted as his sons and daughters. I'll throw the daughters in. You are accepted. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I think it's really important to understand who we are. You're washed clean. And that is what some of you were. You were washed clean, you were sanctified, and you're justified. And you're made holy and blameless. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death and to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation. And last one I want to give you is, you are sealed in Christ. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. Having believed, you're marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's own possession. You are God's possession. You've come from somewhere. Now you're here. Take on the task that God has given to you. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your grace that gives us the ability and the power to do what we need to do. Not to excuse sin, not to excuse, you know, our inabilities, but the power to do what you have given us to do. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. And even though, you know, we have histories, Father God, you see all those things, but Lord, you see who we are now, justified and redeemed, sealed by your blood, by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if anybody needs prayer today. You know, we can do that too, but otherwise, I don't know what you do here, but, you know, if you need prayer, something going on in your life that you need help with, healing, or you need a touch of the Lord, an encounter with him in a different way, I'm here. And get over Pastor Shannon. Hallelujah.